Welcome to a special edition of Big City Catholics. This week we're on the road. I'm Bishop Robert Brennan, your host, Bishop of Brooklyn, serving in Brooklyn and Queens. I'm joined with my co-host, Father John Wong, who also works with me. He's my priest secretary, so he's going to jump in as co-host today. Welcome, Father John.
Thank you, Bishop, for having me. Such an honor.
Father John is not a stranger to this. He served here as a guest once before. Father John, we begin usually with prayer. Would you like to start us off?
Sure. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Loving God, we thank you for bringing us together today as we take part and seek. Open our hearts to your presence, our minds to your truth, and our lives to your call. Send your Holy Spirit upon our young students, our bishops, priests, religious, help them encounter you, grow in faith, and find hope in you. May this time draw us closer to you and to one another. We ask this through Christ our Lord.
Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. And today we have two students from Queens College taking part in the SEEK conference. Adamaris, we're very glad to have you, and Fernando. So Adamaris, what's your parish?
I go to St. Bridget in Brooklyn.
St. Bridget in Brooklyn. That's an important parish to me. You know that?
Really?
My dad.
I love it.
I was a kid there. My dad grew up in St. Bridget's parish a few years ago. It is. It's a great, great parish. Oh, yeah. Good. And what year are you in at Queens College?
I'm in my second year.
And yes. What are you studying?
I'm trying to go into nursing.
Good.
Yeah.
Good for you. And Fernando, you are from?
St. Mary's Star of the Sea, St. Gertrude's in Far Rockaway.
Another parish that means a lot to me. Friends there. It's a parish, again, when I was a kid, we spent the summer in Rockaway and we went to St. Gertrude's.
Oh, St. Gertrude's, yeah. I've been there a couple of times. It's a beautiful church.
It is a beautiful church. Yes. And what year are you in at Queens College?
I am a senior. I'm studying history education. I already did my student teaching and I'm just finishing up a couple classes I have.
Very good. Well, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
So, Father John.
Yes.
We're starting off our SEEK conference, and tell me, what's your impression as we start?
Well, it's my first time SEEK and my first time Ohio. And then Bishop and you and I arrived a day before, which was December 31st, 2025. We spent such a beautiful day, the last day of 2025. You took me a kind of little tour of the diocese you served 4 years ago, right? And then we went to cathedral, we went to the chancery office and the museum. And then we had such a beautiful day. And then very memorable, the night of the last day of a year, I kind of celebrated at Bridgeton Sisters Convent, and then it was a very special moment for me. We celebrated the midnight mass.
Wasn't that beautiful?
Yes.
The Bridgetine sisters, they have a very distinctive look. They have a habit and has the five wounds of Jesus that represents them. So, and they have a house here and they have a house in Connecticut. And one of their customs is they have mass. It starts at 11:30 on New Year's Eve, and then the idea is the consecration takes place close to midnight, and we bring in the new year welcoming Jesus.
It was a very special moment for me. And then we started this great conference of SEEK, and it's my first time. And I've been to something like this, like World Youth Day, when a couple of millions of young people gathered in one city. And this is something else too. And this is such a powerful experience because you see all these young Catholic with full of faith and the mind to seek, right? Seek the truth and seek love and everything. And I love this energy. And then you came with such an enthusiasm. And then I get that energy too. So,
like Father John says, you guys are filled with enthusiasm.
Yeah, I feel like just like the energy of like everybody smiling, everybody so excited to be here, just kept this up and kept this going. And having Mass was like very beautiful too.
Something is very beautiful having Mass. And I was absolutely tired yesterday, but you know, I felt like a burst of energy when we got into Mass and like the keynotes and everything, and just seeing 17,000 people in a room really does bring some energy, which is
17,000 enthusiastic people.
Full of just energy, all that. It's like it's legit the most amount of people I've ever seen in one place at one time. It's like, wow.
Now you've been to SEEK before.
Yeah, this is your second SEEK in Washington, D.C. It was It was a very, very interesting experience going to Washington, D.C. It was a little smaller than this week, so, but it was still massive to me. You know, I've never seen like so many Catholics in one place. I've never seen so many religious in one place. It was a lot of like my first time seeing a lot of like Dominican sisters, the Dominican brothers, the Francisco, the Capuchin friars, and, you know, all of these religious orders that some of them I didn't even know existed. So it was like really nice to see them for the first time. And it's also really nice to see them again here. So.
Yes. Isn't it something, it's a sight just to see the whole Catholic world?
Yes, it's actually insane. This is my first Sikh, but how Father John explained it, it was like kind of like World Youth Day. Like everybody's like all united. They have their flags representing where they come from. But I feel like the one thing that unites us is our faith, and which is something like very beautiful to see.
That's well said. That's very beautiful. Yes. Have you been across to the Mission Way?
Yes, like the little stops that they have.
Yes, so yes. It's an exhibition hall, but they call it exhibition. And again, you see the different booths, the different movements, the businesses, the religious orders.
The organizations, yeah. All the work of different causes. Wonderful to see.
Yeah, it is. You've been to some of the keynotes and the impact sessions already. Tell me, what's impressed you so far?
I think the talks from yesterday started off very beautiful. Like I could correlate to them a lot. It was the main topic that kind of like stuck to me is like how seeing God as Father and seeing him, how like once we get older, we usually tend to like feel like guilty about our sins and like what we do and stuff like that. But instead of like seeing God in that way, we should just see him as a Father with his arms open waiting for us, like to catch us if we fall. He's not going to judge us. He understands us, which is like something that a lot of college students, like we tend to forget because it's a very... Oh, for us, we go to like a commuting school. So it's really hard to like, I don't like, we find it hard, but it's honestly not that hard to find time for God, but it's also very stressful. So we tend to like shy away from God instead of trying to go to him and look for him in times of trouble.
So one talk that I really like was the men's talk this morning with Father P.T., Father Pierre Toussaint. He was a Franciscan Friar of the Renewal, and he was giving a talk about manhood and how he mentioned how Adam was put in charge to like defend the garden and how he shirked that responsibility by simply allowing the serpent to talk to Eve. And he also gave an anecdote about his own life when he should have like faced a hard situation or hardship, but he sort of ran away from it. And that sort of stuck with me about like what it means to be a man, how it means to basically facing the hard things in life that you don't really want to face sometimes. So that's something that's, I've been thinking about that all day, really, like, you know, if you really are a man, you really should be willing to just face the whatever comes your way instead of just like running away from it or like shirking your responsibility.
Challenges, the confrontations, the things you have to deal with. Good. And you had a women's session this morning.
Yes. Another he's also talked about like looking at God and like a very fatherly figure and like changing that perspective. But he also like brought up the garden. That's actually really funny.
Garden of Eden.
Yeah. And how Eve, she fell into like temptation, like eating the apple, but the reason why God separated them from the garden was because there was also the tree of eternal life, and he didn't want them to eternally be separated from him. So he like reconstructed it and tried to bring us all back to him, which is like through these years and also with like the coming of Christ and the death and having resurrection and having that opportunity to get to him.
Beautiful, beautiful. Actually, Father John and I were with, you heard today from Father Josh Johnson, a priest of Louisiana, and we heard from him last night. He gave a very impactful talk us, right?
Yes, yes. Along with the guest speakers, and he was very powerful especially to us ministers. But at the same time, I would admire all those speakers because they know the language to speak. They know the audience and they know the language. They know how to use the language. They know how to do how to approach you guys. And that means they can prepare, well prepared. I can see that. And then you guys come prepared as well and with open minds. And that's such powerful. There's nothing really new about what you hear, but it could change your life because you came with open mind and they came to really change you. And then it is the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's why we have to really come and seek, right?
Exactly, exactly. And the sister who spoke last night was very powerful,
yes,
right?
I loved how she was like very happy, very like excited to be there, but also she touched like a lot of like good like points on how we have to like rely on God and like how we should be open to like all like that he gives us. And like, yeah,
that gets to a point Father John and Adam Harris, you both kind of touched on, bringing it back to the reality, to our own lives. Tell me, student in a secular college, at Queens College, how do you find the campus ministry experience feeding your life?
I feel like it's fed my life, and I say a positive way. So like just a little backstory before I found the Queens College Newman Center. I was going to Queens College, but I was just like, I would get on campus, and then as soon as my classes were done, I would just leave campus because it's that type of campus. It's not really a, there's ways to build community there. You know, you have your clubs and everything, but I visited a couple of the clubs, but it wasn't anything that sort of left me wanting to stay there. So when I found, you know, there was a Catholic club on, or Catholic Center, Catholic Newman Center on campus, and then, you know, they had a priest there, and you know, they had masses every day, I thought, you know, I'll check it out. I was going through a bit of a patch in my life at the time, I would say, so it was a very positive experience finding it. So yeah, I would say it was just a very positive thing, a very good thing. I'm happy it's there. I'm happy it's there. It's, you know, it's a, Father calls it like, he wants it to be like a home away from home. And I would say that's what it is.
The way I found out about it was, I have a friend, well, my mom has a friend, and her friend knew a lady who had a daughter in the Newman Center. So it was like kind of like a connections, and they talked about it, and my mom's like, go, just go. And I feel like it was very important to find a community in Queens College, especially in my first year, my first semester. I was kind of lost. I was a bit open to like searching for other places, but having somewhere to like, okay, I'm stressed, I'm happy, I'm excited, I'm cold, I'm sad. It's just something like, we had the chapel and it's a very beautiful place. Well, like the way it was like reconstructed, but it's also very, it's a very intimate place to be there with God. And he's there, he's exposed, and he's just waiting for you to talk to him. And the beauty of it, of having a chapel in the school, is like, it's not timed. Like you're not there and like, oh, like, but I could only go for a minute. You could go in for a minute, but that's like, he's happy with that. He's happy that you're there and you're putting that step forward to like walk a 5 minute walk or a 20 minute walk,
yeah,
to get to the chapel, which is something very beautiful.
It's a beautiful thought. I mean, it's like checking in on a friend.
Yeah.
Right? If somebody is truly a friend, there are times that you want to sit down and hang out together, yeah, talk, right? But sometimes you just want to say, hey there, how you doing? Right?
Yeah.
And so you give it all to God. You give,
yeah,
it to God whenever.
Like at times, like Father Jose, he's so open to like all of us. He's like, he talks to us. We talk to him before the mass. He gives like a very beautiful homily. His homily kind of reminds me of Father Johnson from yesterday,
okay,
which is like very, very funny. But it's like the way he talks to us, and also how like it can be a very like calm conversation about like, I don't know, sports, but it could also be like a very like, okay, like I'm worried for you, let's talk. And it's something that you don't really see in school because, for example, the counselors, like you have to make appointments prior, like months prior, in order to talk, yeah, to somebody.
Father Jose just go up to the guy whenever.
And we have him right there, and it's just very nice to have that.
And he brings that perspective of our faith.
Yes.
And that, I think, really colors a lot. What are some of the issues that college students are facing these days, especially in a commuter college? I went to St. John's, which was at the time a commuter college. What are some of the experiences that are part of college students' life today?
It's mostly solitude.
Yeah, loneliness.
Like,
isn't that interesting? Yeah. Solitude.
Yeah.
That loneliness, it's very hard. I think even in some colleges, it's very hard to make friends because you don't know if that's going to be like an authentic friendship that you're making, or if it's going to be a friendship where things get hard and then they just leave you. So at the Newman Center, once someone who I consider a very close friend of mine is, well, two people, but the first person is Tristan. He's one of the seminarians for the diocese.
Right. Who was himself a student at Queens College.
And I met him last year when I was still very early coming back into the faith. And he walked with me. He was there during times where I didn't really know what to do. He was there and I just needed someone to talk to. He was a very close friend. And he sort of, before that, I felt very lonely, but after that, I sort of felt like, oh, I have someone to talk to, someone who will give me advice when I need to. So I think that's one of the things facing a lot of students. They don't really have anyone to talk to, you know? They just go to college and they might have their friends, but they don't really have someone they can just sit down and have like those deep conversations that need to be had.
Would you say it's a twofold thing? So one is the loneliness comes from a sense of solitude. Yeah. You don't get started, but it almost sounds like there's a trust issue too.
Yeah, I think there's a very big trust issue on
campus. Myself up to this stranger?
There's a very, very, very big trust issues on campus. I mean, everyone is just like so guarded and everyone's like thinking, oh, this person.
That's a very New York thing that nobody's approachable.
Yeah, that too. New York is a very special type of place. We're not very approachable people. I think about the focus missionaries that are on campus. So before I found the Newman Center, they would go out. I mean, they still do. They would go out on the quad. It's like the big area. And they would like hand out coffee and all that, try to talk with students. And the missionaries we had last year, I had seen them a couple times on the quad. And this is the most New York thing ever. I was just like, well, they would try to talk to me. I'd just like walk past.
Right, yeah. Like, how do I get past without being noticed?
Yeah, how can I just get past? I'll like put my headphones, like they won't notice me, like they won't talk to me. And it's like, and I think about it, that's like the mindset that a lot of the students there have is like, oh, I don't know who you are. What do you want? How much you're going to charge me? There's like there's that trust issue on campus. Is, you know, it can really be seen on Queens and New York in general, I would say.
And you mentioned solitude too. How do you see it playing out?
I kind of see it the same way, that either they're not approachable or they don't like approaching people. And it's also how they see college as like kind of like a job. Like you just go to your class and the minute you can, you just leave. And I feel like that's very hard to like try to make friends. And like also like, I don't know, having a place to stay there. Like I know there's clubs, but I feel like clubs are like, you have one thing in common, which is, I don't know, whatever club you're joining.
TV show, anime, knitting, Spanish.
Like, it's that one thing, but, like, after that, you have nothing really in common. And it's not very, like, oh, let's all, like, hang out together and stuff like that. Now, like, I feel like that's what the Newman Center kind of, like, also brings us. Like, we're all different, like, cultures and very, like, different, like, we have different perspectives about a bunch of things, but the one thing we can do is like keep each other like motivated, happy. We can be like, oh, do you want to go to Bible study together? Do you want to go pray for a little bit? Do you want to go to Mass today? Oh, you should stay for Mass today, actually. Like we like push each other to like strive for like more. And like, I guess like we all have something to learn about the faith. Like we're never 100% sure. And I feel like keeping a curious mind is something very important, especially because we're young and we're still finding our vocations, our path, our ways. And yeah,
these are very important years as you're making big decisions about your life.
Very big decisions.
You know, and it's nice to do that in an environment that's supportive, right? That can spur you on. That's great. As a Catholic, I mean, you both live out your faith. Do you see sometimes this temptation of isolation even there, that, oh, I'm the only one who believes this? Or not so much that do you see it, but do you see that's the message that's sent out is like, nobody really believes this?
I get that sense sometimes, especially when I go out to like the city or just I'm like walking around. It's like, I look around people and everyone's sort of just there. And it's like, and I realize some people don't really believe this that I know to be true and hold to be true. So should I? But there's always like that temptation in the back of the mind. But I always, you know, I always remind myself, no, let me just think of all the good that's come out of this. Don't just think about, you know, the fact that no one really believes in this. Because, you know, everyone's out in different stages. I don't know what stage the person walking past me is in. Maybe they haven't been taught about this. You know, I grew up in a Catholic household, a Dominican household. So it was very different to someone who, say, who's grown in a Bangladeshi or mostly white neighborhood. They might not know about what I've already known. So that's something I always like to keep in the back of my mind when I'm sort of having those thoughts.
Yes, yes. Do you find that? Not so much that your faith is attacked, but it's sort of seen as irrelevant in the world.
Irrelevant a little bit, because I feel like we're also in a society where, like, you could do whatever you want. You could be whatever you want. And it's like being a Catholic, especially like in New York City, is probably like a minority.
Oh, absolutely.
A population now. And like, just like being firm about your faith is very like, it's hard to find, but it's also really hard to do sometimes, especially as like a young adult. But I don't feel like, just because somebody doesn't believe firmly in what I believe doesn't mean that I'm going to judge them, but it's also not going to burn off the fire that I have. Because
good for you. Good.
I feel like it's like the love of God that's had me here. Like, I'm very grateful for him. I'm grateful for Mother Mary that she's always protecting me, helping me, guiding me. And yeah, so I don't feel like it like burns me off, but it's, I feel like it's easier to have Catholic friends in order to like talk about things like that instead of like having just like that friend. Like, I had discipleship with one of the Focus missionaries, and one of the topics were like friends, like virtuous friends, friends of pleasure, and then friends of like that you just find if you need something. And I feel like friends of pleasure and friends of use are something you usually find in college and usually where you find in the street. But friends, like virtuous friends, are those friends that like are with you when you don't feel good about yourself and you don't have anything. And I feel like that's something that you find when you have Catholic friends, or like, yeah.
So that's well put. Beautifully said. Beautifully said. You know, some of my experiences that young people particularly, but people in general, are often made to feel that there's not really a big acceptance of the faith. And actually now you're starting to see articles about, you know, how people are coming back to church and young people taking an interest in faith. But it brings me back to an experience like this. And Father John, you were saying this about the numbers of people that, and the enthusiasm of everybody here, that you can't help but being supported there too, even if you're not going to be friends with all these people who are here, but just saying, yeah, there are a lot of people who are pretty enthusiastic about this.
Yeah, like you wouldn't think that there would be a lot of students, to be honest. But the beautiful thing about it is like, it's not just in one section, but like it's around the world. We just bumped into people from Lithuania, and it's insane how like it's something cultural, something like it's not only in America, but it's multiple like young people around the world seeking that like that fire, that zeal to like find God and like learn about him and just like fill that God-sized hole that we have in our heart.
That's great. It is. And yeah, is that your experience too? Especially now, second time around.
Second time around. 17,000 students that's just in attendance. Expect, yeah. And seeing also the, I was walking around during Mission Way. I saw a bunch of kids too. And I was like, wow, that's wonderful that they're here. You know, they couldn't have been older than like 7 to 8 years old. But also during like the keynote session, or even during Mass, you just like see the parents walking around with their babies trying to calm them down.
And you know what's really interesting about that? Seeing those young people with babies, the families, most of them are people who maybe in the last 5 to 10 years were college students attending Focus, and they're coming back now. Now they're married and they're living out their faith, faithful young Catholics, married families, and they're bringing their families here because this was something that nourished them in their college years. It's something that can help to continue to nourish them.
Yeah, nourish their families now. Yeah. It's wonderful. It's absolutely wonderful to see.
And we see that in some of the priests who were here. And the religious. They were college students here going through the same experience. And it's nice to see where that has an impact on people's lives way off in the future.
Yeah, it's wonderful.
Right? It's so true. Now, we had a nice New York encounter today. We there too. It was great to see people from all over the metropolitan area. Mostly Long Island, Brooklyn, Queens, and Archdiocese of New York. There are a few other people from New York, but largely that general area. That in itself was a pretty large group.
Yeah, right? It was very wonderful.
And it was nice to meet each other. Bishop Barris encouraged people to meet new friends, to make new connections. And that was, I thought it was a good experience. I thank you for sharing your insights and your experience here today. And Father John, I hope you're enjoying this.
Yes, I am. My new experience here, like I said, I just feel the great energy, also a great inspiration to me too.
You say that well. These young people are an inspiration to us, aren't they? We're living, as priests.
Yes. I'm really moved by your witnesses today. You know, and I know we're living in a very difficult world with so many different ideas, and everybody has different truth. You know, you talk about the truth, you talk about your own truth, but that means there's no truth. But you know, I know there is a truth, the truth, which is Jesus Christ. And then we are all united in the name of Jesus, and name of church, and one baptism, one spirit, one liturgy. The liturgy was beautifully done.
Yes, you started off telling us about that. Yeah, that's right.
The liturgy. Beautiful. The liturgy,
yes. Here is beautiful. They really well prepared. They really take it seriously.
And then we
almost missed this. But we were surprised by the message from Holy Father.
Oh, yeah. Yes. From Pope Leo. It was wonderful. I was surprised when we saw that. Like, when he started mentioning that he started sending messages and all that, I was like, are we going to get a message from Pope Leo? And then boom, hey, there he is on the screen.
And that was a powerful message.
He
talked about, what are you seeking? What are you looking for? And don't be afraid to...
I feel like that's one thing that, like, Christ. Most of us do. We suppress feelings. And, like, sometimes they're like, okay, like, I want to find God, but, like, have that border up and be like, okay, I want to find them, but not yet. And I feel like we have to, like, be more open and just, like, walk in it, like, fully. Because when Willis, like, I forgot who said this, but it's like, oh, I'm going to search God, but like I'm going to fully commit when I get married or when I have a kid or when I do this.
Yeah, you're always pushing it off to when I do get this, when I get this, when I'm
yeah.
ready.
And these, but they put it as like, it starts the minute we're conceived. Like mm-hmm. that's the minute we should be fully like pushing forward for God and like opening that door and being fully committed and not being scared to one, be in touch with our own feelings, but also be in contact with God.
Wow. What a great way to end. Wow. Very, very powerful. I'm going to ask God's blessing on you and upon all of us. And I'm looking forward to the fruits of this experience as witnesses like you live it out on the campus of Queens College and in so many ways in our parishes in Brooklyn and Queens. We ask the Lord's blessing. The Lord be with you
and with your spirit.
May the Lord bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May he look upon you with kindness and grant you his peace. And may Almighty God bless you and your families, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Thank you, Bishop. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you. Thank you for joining us for this week's edition of Big City Catholics. Please be sure to join us again next week. God bless you and have a wonderful week.